KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 4 degrees above zero in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high around 14. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Well, the Atlantic City Council held a public hearing during their meeting Wednesday night on a development agreement with Whitney Group, LLC, authorizing an annual appropriation of tax increment payments and pledging certain revenues to the payment of the agreement. The only comment during the public period came from Pat McCurdy, chairman of the Cass Atlantic Development Corporation's Housing Committee. McCurdy said he supported the project 100%.
It's part of economic development is housing. And, of course, these people will be retirees living there, but theoretically, they'll move out of a single-family house into this apartment complex. That opens up housing for the younger working people. It's all good, because this community is going to grow, especially with this ethanol plant coming. We're going to need more housing, and this is, fits it to a T. And this is what TIF is supposed to be, was originally for. Sometimes you see TIF used for projects, and you really question, you know, does it fit? This is exactly what it was. It was made for. Takes a property that's going to fall down, the city's going to own, have to demolish it, like they had to do on Walnut Street. Somebody steps in, some investors, invests this money, puts it back on the tax rolls, makes a really nice, neat old building usable again, and hopefully this is kind of a catalyst for helping downtown grow.
The council did not take any action on the development agreement as the final wording is still being hammered out. A vote on passing the agreement is expected during the next regular council meeting on January 18th. Mark Smith, along with a group of investors, purchased the three-story Victorian-era Boss Hotel that was built in 1890 and is on the list of National Register of Historic Places. Smith has previously stated that plans for the structure include commercial space and a restaurant on the first floor, along with a community room. The top two floors will be remodeled into 8 apartment units on each floor for mature adults. The project is expected to cost around $4 million. City Council Wednesday passed a resolution for matching funds amounting to $100,000 in support of an Enhanced Iowa CAT grant for the Shelburg Recreation Area Campground Improvement and Bathhouse Projects. Atlantic Parks and Rec Director Seth Stasselm said the resolution was necessary because the previous application had been submitted to the now-defunct Vision Iowa Board. The old application was rescinded and is being updated before being submitted to the Enhanced Iowa Board for review and action, which is likely to occur later this summer.
We're asking for a match of $175,000 from Enhanced Iowa, which should cover the bathhouse facility along with some engineering fees. The $100,000 I'm asking for will go towards engineering contingency and part of the gravel and pathway to the 88 fishing pier.
The city's share of the matching funds will come from the local option sales tax, recreation improvement reserve, and hotel motel tax. State officials say an investigation has found 7 residents in a state facility for people with profound intellectual disabilities were physically abused by the staff, and 13 clients were subjected to verbal abuse or neglect. Amy McCoy, spokesperson for the Iowa Department of Human Services, said the investigation at the Glenwood State Resource Center was launched back in September.
We received a report that there was client mistreatment happening, so we launched an investigation. From that investigation, we looked at some other reports that had been made as well and really did a deep dive into what was happening.
The DHS announced yesterday that 6 employees at the facility have been fired. 6 others resigned during the investigation.
The client mistreatment involved a range of things, including hitting a client or allowing peer-to-peer aggression, neglecting some clients' personal care needs, and talking abusively to and around clients.
State officials say criminal charges are possible. The complaints centered mainly on activities at 4 of the 17 residential homes on the Glenwood campus during the night shift. In addition to the dozen staff members who either resigned or were fired, 5 other workers were kept on, but some sort of disciplinary action was taken against them.
We have increased supervision of staff, including doubling supervision on weekends and evenings. We've increased the frequency of middle and top management rounds of the homes and at varying times. We're retraining supervisors and managers on the signs and symptoms of mistreatment, and we're requiring all staff to be retrained on the standards of client treatment.
About 230 people with intellectual disabilities live on the Glenwood campus.
The good news is that the majority of our staff do a wonderful job taking care of our clients. They have difficult jobs meeting people's complex needs, and we want to make sure that we do that in the safest manner. We have more than 770 staff, and this was a small number of those staff members who we've taken action against.
In a news release, the facility superintendent calls the actions against residents shameful and unacceptable, but he said it should not detract from the dedicated work of the vast majority of staff members. Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday four people were arrested recently on drug-related offenses. On Tuesday, deputies arrested 32-year-old Daniel Eugene Long Sr. of Atlantic on one Atlantic PD warrant for theft in the third degree. Cass County Sheriff's Office warrants for felony possession of meth, third or subsequent offense, and interference with official acts. Long Sr. was also arrested on a district court warrant for failure to appear. He was booked into the Cass County Jail and remained held yesterday on $12,300 bond. 26-year-old Sherry LaVon Lowe of Lorimore was arrested Tuesday on a Cass County Sheriff's Office warrant for felony possession of meth, third or subsequent offense, and interference with official acts. Lowe was taken to the Cass County Jail and remained held there on $5,300 bond. On Monday, Cass County deputies arrested 27-year-old Joshua Lee Jones of Creston on a charge of possession of marijuana, second offense, and 34-year-old John Jacob Garcia of Afton on a charge of possession of marijuana, third or subsequent offense. Both men were brought to the Cass County Jail. Jones was released the next day on $1,000 bond. Garcia was released the next day on $2,000 bond. Last Saturday, Cass County deputies arrested 21-year-old Bill Lewis Stockwell of Elkhorn on a charge of OWI second offense. Stockwell was taken to the Cass County Jail and released on his own recognizance the next day. Last Friday, 18-year-old Drew Henry Miller of Atlantic was arrested on a district court warrant for failure to appear. Miller was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released following sentencing on that matter. Police and firefighters in Council Bluffs Wednesday afternoon responded to a report of a small explosion in the lunchroom of the Lewis Central High School. The incident happened around 12:45 p.m. Authorities say an investigation revealed a commercial-grade firework was detonated under a table in the lunchroom where several students were seated during lunch. In an earlier statement, officials have said the device was a homemade explosive device. As a result of the joint investigation conducted by the police department, fire department, and school security, two students were taken into custody for their involvement in the incident. One juvenile was charged with arson in the first degree, the other with possession of an explosive or incendiary device. The suspects' names were not released. The school quickly returned to normal activities, and no students appear to have been injured as a result of the explosion or the firework. A February trial has been scheduled for a Council Bluffs woman accused of placing one of her infant son's arms in a mug of hot coffee to prove to him it was hot. Court records say 36-year-old Rebecca Brahear entered a written plea of not guilty on Tuesday to felony charges of willful injury and child endangerment. Her trial is set to begin February 7th. Brahear told police the 10-month-old tried to touch the mug several times on November 19th before she put his arm in the mug. Officers say she told them she was proving her point to the child, the coffee was hot. The doctors say the boy suffered second-degree burns. Police say the boy's father was unaware of the incident. And a former Council Bluffs candidate for mayor has been charged with stealing vending machines in Nebraska. Online court records say 33-year-old Matthew Hartfield has pleaded not guilty to a dozen misdemeanor counts of theft. His trial is scheduled to begin January 31st in Douglas County, Nebraska court. The thefts began occurring in November. Police say sometimes a well-dressed man would enter the Omaha store, measure a machine and take it, and then saying he'd bring back a larger machine. The vending machine's owner estimated his loss at $10,000. Hartfield ran for mayor in 2009 and was beaten by incumbent Tom Hannafin. And the Mills County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday said a Council Bluffs woman was arrested Tuesday morning for violation of probation. 40-year-old Veronica Lynn George was arrested at the Pottawatomie Mills County line and brought to the Mills County Jail, where her bond was set at $2,000. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.